This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go.
This episode is brought to you by Bulldog Yoga and Generate Life Sciences. We are so excited to have them on board, making our show a possibility.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Make sure.
Love is love. If you don't have to make a family by taking a traditional ride. If these ovaries could talk, we'd have say.
How do I get the sperm through custom?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stay.
Jamie!
Robin!
We just keep coming back even though no one asks us to.
Well, now that's not true. People say they like this podcast.
But are they ever like, oh my God, don't take a break? No.
Maybe. No? I don't know. Yeah.
We don't take a break long enough to like let them miss us.
There's no breaks in podcasting.
Although we're going to take a break in August though, I'll tell you what. Not that I'm looking forward to that, yep. But.
A 3-year-old just barged in. There's that. There's no breaks.
There's no breaks. Jamie, interesting news last night. I got my kids their first bento box last night, and they ate it.
Congratulations.
I know, not all of it. I mean, Mary and I don't eat any seafood. We're like sort of
what?
Like, I know. Well, Mary eats fish stick sandwiches from McDonald's, and that's the seafood that we eat.
Oh, my God.
Wow. I don't eat any.
I eat seafood. I like
but we
seafood.
Try to like give it to them because I'm like, I don't want them to like, we eat like fifth graders. Oh so God. I'm like, I want them to like expand their palate beyond mine. And so I Mary stayed at the Transformation Center last night. And so I was like, I'm getting them bento boxes. And Henry was like eating like sushi rolls. Like he was like, I was like, yeah. What is happening? I was like, good for you.
That's good. That's the one food I know my children will scarf up is sushi. Like if I say we're having sushi tonight, the excitement in the house is cray cray. Even my 3-year-old, he loves sushi.
I just didn't think they would, but they did. Soy sauce. I also didn't understand how much is actually in a bento box. I might overordered a little bit. Yeah. It's a lot of food in there.
There is.
They could have split one. They could have split one.
It's good stuff.
He didn't need salmon and chicken. I was like, that's a lot of food.
But you're expanding their palates, and that's all that counts. Mm-hmm. Good job. I have big news.
You have news. You have news. Share your news. It's way bigger than my bento box item.
So we...
That was real news during COVID, Jamie. Bento boxes was real news. Go ahead. Go ahead.
We reached out to our donor sibling families. Dun, dun, dun.
This is 3 years in the making.
Well, the opportunity hasn't really come up, right? So... Well, you know, and I've talked about it on the podcast, I've been a little worried as to how I'm going to bring in the new aspect of Rose's story. She's seven now.
Yep.
So she knows, obviously, she's always known about the donor. We have books. We read to her. She knows her origin story. But she didn't know about siblings, donor siblings, because that's not something that...
That's an add-on. It's that's an add-on. When you add-on to the story.
Right. Yeah. And that's something... All of a sudden, I've started realizing, oh my God, she's seven. I need to drop this in. I need to get this somehow into this conversation because... I don't want this to be a shock to her. I don't want her to feel like we held anything from her. Oh my God, how am I? I've been stressing.
Don't you feel that panic when you know you have to add that next layer onto their origin story on and you're like, it's like double dutch. You're looking for the window to drop it in.
Totally. It's double dutch.
Here we go.
I'm like,
here we go.
I've been stressing and I've been at night, I'll be like with Anne, we got to bring this up. How are we going to bring this up? You know, it's like been this current in my life. And then finally the other night, Rose asked, I don't even remember what she asked, but the donor came up. I said, well, do you want to look at the pictures? Do you want to look at the stuff we have? Mm-hmm. And she said, yeah, sure, okay. So we pull, you know, it's always like really, it's never like gung-ho.
It's never a big deal to them. No. They're always like, yeah right. Okay. I'll if look you at want those. To.
Yeah, sure, you want
sure,
to, Mom.
I guess so.
So we pull out the folder. We look at the pictures. She's like, there's no adult pictures. It's so lame. I'm like, yeah. And then we read
Did she say that's so lame?
Something to that effect, yes. She's like a 16-year-old. We looked at the pictures. We read his essay, which was actually a beautiful story. I'm so glad we picked him. And then I said, and she is obsessed with the idea of a sister. She wants a sister so bad. She says it about as much as she says she wants a dog, which is basically 24/7. So, you know, dog, sister.
Poor old Ryan is probably just like, I'm here.
I know, poor guy. The poor
with
kid.
With his tiny little self.
Poor kid. But so I said, you know what else is really amazing about this? She goes, what? I said, well, you know how, since we used this donor, you know, there's other families who probably used the exact same donor that we used, which means, I said something like, which means you have donor siblings out there. There's other families with the same donor as you. If I tell you she was excited, it was an understatement. Her eyes
really
got so big. She took the biggest inhale. She was bouncing off. I have siblings. Do you think some of them are girls? Do you think they're girls?
I love how she's just like, like they're Orion's siblings too, but it's fine, but it's hilarious.
And I was like, you know, but Orion is your sibling. You have donor siblings, but he's your sibling. She was like, I have. There's probably girls. How many? I can't wait to meet, you know, like, can I meet them? Can I meet them? Where are they? Who are they? You know, like, so excited.
Oh, that's so amazing that she's going to lead this.
Oh, my
God.
That
you waited till the right time, and now she's going to lead it.
And
now
she's
you're gonna have
super
to meet him, Jamie.
Excited about it. The dumb thing we did was that I brought this up right before bedtime, which we already have a hard time with bedtime anyway. I was like, now she's never going to sleep.
Had to find your window. That was your window.
I know. But I was also afraid, like, oh, my God, she's going to go to school because she had school the next day. I was like, oh, God, this is going to be like a thing at school now. Her friends are going to go home and be like, I want donor siblings.
Like, they're all going to be like, what's a donor? You're going to get the call from the school. She was talking about sperm and donor siblings, and we didn't understand.
I really was worried that was going to happen. But here's the thing that happened. She ended up going to sleep, no problem, and we haven't heard about it since.
Interesting.
Yeah, because, you know, like they say, like Lisa the therapist said, the kids take in the information they need, and then when they get what they need, they move on.
But what's great, though, is you're not forcing more. Mm-mm. Like you are, because Lisa the therapist also said you follow their lead. So you're like, right. She hasn't brought it back up, but it's nope. There. And then there'll be more moments to bring it up again. But now you know there's interest.
Yeah. And then so we went to the sibling registry and there's no private Facebook group
there. Make it, Jamie.
But there was, because when we had reached out to try to buy new sperm, we had reached out on the sibling registry and we got two people's emails. And so we went back. Those are the only two emails that are there. And we emailed those two people. And one of them was twins and the other one was a little boy. And the one with the little boy reached back.
Okay.
And she was like, yeah, we'd love to meet. He's almost seven, blah, blah, blah. And then Anne was like, fuck, I wish it was a girl. Which is true, because that's the dream. Oh, the dream God, is a sister.
Hilarious. That is hilarious.
So, but anyway, so we're gonna make contact.
Are you going to create the secret Facebook group?
No, that's too much maintenance. I
can't do that.
It's really
not, though. All you have to do is make it, and then you don't have to do anything. Everybody can invite someone else that's within the group. So, and you don't have to do anything.
I think our group of donor siblings is not like super, like there's nobody.
I know, but you don't know that people aren't checking the board. So what I'm saying is, if you create the secret Facebook group, not that I'm pushing this, Jamie, but I am, you create the secret Facebook group, and then you put a link to it on the donor registry board, and then it's done. Anyone who wants to add themselves can just ask to be added, and that's it.
I don't know.
I'm just saying, just think about it.
Well, everybody who's listening, go check your registry board and see if I am in your board.
Could you imagine if a listener...
That would be amazing.
That would be really cool.
Also kind of weird.
All right, anyway, let's get to our show, for God's sakes.
Okay. So here's the scoop for who are we talking to today?
Marissa,
yeah. We were thrown for a serious loop right in the beginning of this episode. We had no idea. There's a big twist in this plot. It's not just your average, you know, sperm donation.
Stick the sperm in there at the doctor's office. Story.
Oh, my God. But it's a happy twist. It's amazing.
But we both had our mouths open for the first 15 minutes of recording. We were like,
because we had no idea.
I don't know how she didn't share that in the pre-call, but I love it, though.
We're going to hear this story. You need to hear it. Marissa and Madeline.
But we only talked to Marissa because somebody had to be taking care of those babies.
We need to just wake Helen up to roll the tape. But before we do that, we need to let you know there is a squeaky chair in the interview. But we were not going to ask this new mother to switch chairs. So bear with the squeaky chair. It's okay. We're all moms. We get it. There's always noise in the
background. There's always a squeaky chair.
There's always a squeaky wheel.
There's a squeaky something. Helen's our squeaky person. She has those sneakers that squeak when she walks. And it's like.
She does. I didn't know you noticed. And then sometimes she wears the clickety-clack shoes.
Oh, God. I know, Helen. Just wear the slippers I got you and hit play. Thank you. Thank you, Helen. I said thank you. Hi, Marissa.
Hi, Mama.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I feel rested today.
For those of you who can't see, who are not Patreon members, who are watching the video, she has three cribs lined up behind her for this record. Three cribs, because she has triplets.
She's a rock star.
Holy cow.
And it's such a cute little
I know,
room.
It's
Look
so adorable.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, there's their names and the cribs.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
You look great. I definitely didn't look that good after giving birth. And I only gave birth to one baby. And he was tiny.
Yeah, good skincare regimen, a lot of water and concealer. And I get to pick like one of those a day because it's never now.
Yeah, right.
No,
exactly.
Well, let's get to the elevator pitch about your family. Are you ready?
As I'll ever be, yes.
Okay, on your mark, Marissa. Get set, go.
My name is Marissa. I am married to my wife, Madeline. We've been together for 6 years, married for three. A little over 2 years ago, we decided to start our family, and we went the route of at-home insemination with Mosey Baby. They make great at-home insemination kits. It was awesome. 8 tries and 2 known donors later, I got pregnant right at the beginning of the pandemic. At my 8-week ultrasound, we found out it was twins. And then during my C-section, it was actually triplets. They pulled out a third baby. So
what?
Now we are triplet moms. Yeah.
Wait a second. Wait, Robin, did you know that twist?
I didn't know that.
Holy I have to swear.
Holy mother fucking shit.
Holy shit.
So I still don't understand how she was missed. I still don't get it because I had like 11 or 12 ultrasounds, a ton of times where it could have been detected. And then
anatomy scans.
Right. I had like 3 anatomy scans towards the end of my pregnancy. One of the girls had IUGR, which just means she had restricted growth. So she wasn't growing at a normal rate. So I was going really frequently every week for the last like 6 weeks.
One of the two that they knew.
Correct. Yes.
Because that third one was taking up all the space and she was like, I can't grow.
Exactly. So baby B had restricted growth. So I was going very frequently. Looking back at those ultrasounds, there were 1 or 2 weeks where it was like they were so confused about the placement of the babies. They had just moved so much. And I was like, well, that makes sense. I was super uncomfortable this week. Like maybe they were just changing positions, but I actually think they were looking at the third baby and just didn't realize.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I, oh I,
My God.
I am so floored by this that I don't.
Welcome to my life for the last 4 months.
Marissa, what did they say?
Were they like, sorry? There's another baby in here?
I know we have to get into how it all happened. So, yeah. I have to hear this.
Okay. So like during the C-section that started at like 10:30 in the morning, pulled out the first baby. Great. 2 minutes later, pulled out the second baby. My wife, who gets very squeamish in hospitals, was like, I didn't pass out. We made it. Yay.
Two babies.
I was very worried that she was like going to pass out during the whole thing.
I love that you're worrying about somebody else while you're ripped open.
I'm feeling great. I'm just laying there. I don't feel a thing. Right. So she's like, we made it. She's looking at the babies. I'm like, okay, let's finish up. And then the surgeon yells, whatever the pediatrician's name was. She's like, Dr. So-and-so, there's another baby.
Dr. So-and-so, there's another baby.
And I just like, I immediately go, what? And burst into tears. Madeline like looks at me and God bless him. Our nurse anesthetist was like, seriously got us through the whole thing. But he was just like, looked over the curtain like, are you fucking serious? Like, that's not a joke, right? And everyone's scrambling around there. You know, there's technically supposed to be a nurse and a warmer for each baby. They didn't have a third one of anything. Oh, so it was like,
oh my God,
you know, and then she cries and they're like, you have another girl. And it's like, cause my first thought was, well, they didn't detect her because she didn't have a heartbeat or something like that. Right, you know, I thought the worst, God.
Right.
Which would have just been terrible. But she cried. There, you have another girl. She weighed a perfect weight. She was of normal length. Everything was fine. But everyone in the room was just like, I've been doing this for 25, 20, 30 years, and that's never happened to me. And I'm like, you think? Because that shouldn't normally happen. It's 2020, you know, 2021.
If you were in some rural town in Marissa, the 50s, I'd be like, oh, all right.
And had one ultrasound and that was it. And, you know, back then, probably not even any ultrasounds, but because I had so many and because it's today's day and age.
You just can't imagine that something like that would happen. Okay, Robin, we are making babies left and right with this podcast.
Oh, I know,
especially obviously now that we're offering our listeners a free level 2 donor information subscription for 90 days at California Cryobank. Boom.
I mean, it's amazing that we've gotten notes from folks thanking us for the subscription. I'm very proud of this sponsorship.
Me too. I am too. And if you still haven't taken advantage of this offer yet, here are 3 more amazing reasons to choose California Cryobank as your sperm bank. Take it away, Robin. Go.
1. California Cryobank partners with LGBTQ plus organizations like Family Equality, The Center, Only Human, and Pandora Events to sponsor family building events nationwide.
Wow.
2. California Cryobank was awarded Family Equality's 2019 Corporate Impact Award for their contribution to helping LGBTQ plus families. Amazing. We love it. 3. California Cryobank created a special discounted fertility preservation program for the transgender community, which provides the opportunity to have biological children after transitioning.
Boom. Amazing. So good. Here's one more. You ready for it, Robin?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Both you and I use them and are completely happy with our experience.
That is true. Done. That is true. California Cryobank maintains the industry's highest quality standards, and you just know you're getting good sperm. Jamie made me say that. When you choose them.
And a level 2 donor subscription is worth $145. That's a really big help when we're making these babies. Oh, and listen, what happened, Robin? I recently went back to our donor's folder and looked at his pictures and read his essay and personal letter to the kids because my daughter was asking about him. So we just opened up our folder and we have all this info in a nice organized folder that they gave to us after we got pregnant. But now the cool thing, it's not just a folder that they give you. They call it a donor keepsake, and it's a special USB drive with all the important info. So you don't even have to hold on to a folder. It's great. They call it the donor keepsake. Anyway, another great thing. They think of everything.
Amazing. They really do.
Yeah.
So everyone go to cryobank.com, open a free account, and use code OCT to activate your free subscription today.
That's cryobank.com, cryobank.com, and make the babies. Make them.
And then tell us about it.
Yeah, of course. Please. We want to know. So everybody is shocked.
I have never been more shocked in this podcast than I am at this moment. I cannot get past this.
She's because a miracle. She
really is. Like, she's going to do something so great in life, I feel like.
But you were like mentally preparing for twins. And then all of a sudden,
financially, physically, like we had 2 of everything. Great.
You had names? Like, did you have names picked out?
Yeah, we had names pretty early on. You were
like ready to go with the
two. Two names, like I already had stuff with their names on it, you know? So it was like, we were committed to those. There was no turning back from twins, which was a shock in itself because.
Right, of course, which we're going to get into.
We were not expecting, right.
Okay, all right, we're.
Okay. I'm in shock. I don't know.
I know. I'm so sorry.
I have no idea. But I'm so happy for you too, because what great news to get, especially because she was healthy. Everything was fine.
I mean, it could have been a very bad situation.
Yes.
And that's the other thing. It's like the facility we delivered in normally does not deliver triplets. We would have been at a totally different hospital. Everything would have been totally different. I would have delivered like weeks earlier.
Yeah.
Because of my age and just multiples, you're at a higher risk for everything. So thank goodness it ended up being a non-issue really and truly because everyone was fine.
I mean, it's like, I know we're going to get to like the whole rest of the story, but I just, I'm envisioning you like having to call your family and be like, P.S. there's another baby. Like just all the things that come with the shock.
You're like, you guys got any names that go with these two? Because we got to name this.
Also,
this
child. Somebody order me a nameplate for over this third baby's bed in another
I don't know
crib.
Why I'm so obsessed with That's the name of did. The child though.
Like, it was a big deal. And a lot of people were like, oh, it's so good you had a third name like as a backup. And it was like, what? No, we didn't. We definitely did not.
I do have to say this. Early on, Jamie and I think maybe even season one, said some things about twins or like, I think we said sort of like your life must be so hard. And we got some flack from a couple of people who were like, listen, I think they thought that we were in some way judging their life. So I wouldn't just be really clear. This is amazing. And I love that your family came this way. And we just are in absolute shock that you thought you were having one. Then you figure out maybe two. And then all of a sudden there's a third baby.
Yeah. I want to know if there are other times in history where this happened. We need to do some research. Because
back in the day, I imagine, but not recently.
Well, but like modern times with ultrasounds and everything we have and imaging and the body scans. Like
I don't think it's very common. At all.
So she's a miracle. They're all miracles.
Okay. They are all miracles. Yes.
But like, here's the thing. You're just like a walking anomaly because first of all, you had a secret baby in your womb.
You had a secret baby.
And second of all, you got pregnant via home insemination.
Watching a movie on television.
Like, so romantic.
It's great. I know.
Can we ask what movie or was it dirty?
It was probably like Harry Potter or something ridiculous like that, you know?
But, like, so my point is, like, it's very rare for couples to get pregnant via home insemination and have multiples.
And like, have multiples, yeah.
Yeah, let's...
That doesn't happen.
Talk about that.
Sure.
Leo, let's talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we just got so sidetracked by the surprise baby that we just got thrown off. So, okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how you guys got here.
Sure. Most people just assume we did IVF because it's multiple babies. Right. And I've gotten a lot of comments from people on social media asking us like what clinic we went to that would transfer multiple embryos, because I guess that's not a common thing.
Yep.
You know,
and it's clinic, like,
I don't know that I would have consciously made a decision to transfer three embryos. That seems like a lot to put your body through intentionally. But
I'm going to interrupt you because my clinic recommended I put three in each time.
That's crazy.
Really? I thought nobody was doing that anymore.
Yeah, nobody.
Only because like it was always like one or two looked viable.
Right.
Third
and
one
that
was
makes
crappy.
Sense. Sure. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, so early on when Madeline, my wife and I decided to start our family, I mean, and I actually used Modern Fertility. I did some lab work early on before we even started trying. And my numbers were okay. You know, for my age, they were pretty normal.
And Modern Fertility is an at-home fertility testing kit.
Yeah, they're a sponsor oftentimes on our podcast.
Yeah, it was great. A lot of good information. I still felt like, okay, even if it takes another year, like we'll be fine. And then after we got married about a year, maybe a little less than a year, we were like driving in the car because I don't even know how it came up, but I was like, what if we try at home? You know, let's turkey baster it. And so a quick like Google search led us to Mosey and it was like, great, this seems like a really great option. Not that expensive. Let's try it a couple of times. And at the time, we had had a donor already come forward to donate for us. So it was like, okay, let's do it.
And who was that? Who was that donor?
So he was or is a childhood friend of my wife. We were out to lunch with his mother and him because his mother ran a daycare and Madeline went there as a child. And they became very close. Him and his brother and Madeline and one of her sisters all kind of grew up together. So they stayed in touch and we were out to dinner with mom and the donor And she was like, well, he'll just donate sperm for you, kind of like randomly. And it
the
was
the mom
like
offered awkward. For her son?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Pimping out his sperm.
I
for
love
sure.
that.
That's the best ever.
Because I think she just loved Madeline so much that it was like her dream for
they're like family.
Their families to kind of, you know, connect. So, you know, at first I didn't know him from Joe off the street. So it wasn't awkward to me. And I was like, well, as long as it's okay with Madeline, like I'm totally fine with that. Plus, who's going to offer up free sperm like that? You know, let's do it.
You so, take what you can get, right?
Just- exactly. And he's like a good looking guy, super smart, athletic. So I was like, check, check, check. Sure. And then like a week later, he texted Madeline and said, I'm in, let's do it. Great. So we tried 4 times with him, I believe. And he was not local. So a couple times I had to travel, he had to travel. So logistically, it was not the best situation.
How far was the travel? He had to travel and like make a deposit and then head home.
Right. And then leave. Luckily, I mean, his mom was local. So he'd like make a trip out of it and visit her. And so it wasn't all bad. But he, still. Right. I mean, we're in the Bay Area. He was in Portland at the time.
Oh, Bay Area.
Don't do it, Jamie.
About that yet.
Don't do it, Jamie. Keep it going, Marissa. Just keep it going.
So he had his sperm tested again. And like every category was terrible. So yeah. So the doctor that I was working with at the time was basically like, IVF with this donor is your only option.
Oh, what a bummer for him. Like he's trying to do some altruistic good thing, but maybe in a way good for him because now he knows he might have trouble.
Yeah. He's actually married now and his wife has donated her eggs for families, which is like, they're
oh
like
God,
a perfect
couple.
Oh, you guys.
I know. So cute. Aww. So once that all came back, he was like, my brother has said he will help out if we need him to. And then the brother stepped in and donated.
This family is so amazing.
I know. Aren't they awesome?
And so the brother is like family too, because they,
he really
they
is.
Grew up together.
And Madeline knew him. So he came over for the first time and Madeline hadn't seen him in probably 10 plus years. It was like, we were all kind of meeting at the same time. And I could just tell, and she has said the same thing. As soon as he walked in the door and we started chatting, the vibe of the whole idea and just like our connection to him, and it just felt different. And I was like, okay, I think this is who it's supposed to be anyways. So it was almost like a blessing that it didn't work out with the first one, just because we felt so much better about the brother. So
did you do paperwork or was it just handshake deal?
I think it was more like a high five probably, but
even with how close you guys were with the entire family, like, did you have like a verbal communication where you were,
we
like, was
did.
Everybody going to be involved? The whole family was just going to be one big family.
Yeah. Yes and no. They, the whole time were like, whatever you guys are comfortable with, you know, we're here if you want us, if you don't want us there, we're down for that too. And we have signed since like a legal agreement that lays out some stipulations and things like that. But I mean, for me, it's like the more positive influences a child can have in their life, why not?
Yeah.
But I'm not going to have the girls like call the mom grandma. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right,
that
right,
kind of thing.
Right.
And like, you can't take any pictures. You can't share any photos, things like that.
Right. They are your children.
Exactly. I mean, eventually they're going to figure out how babies are made and we're going to have that conversation, yeah. You know? And if they want to meet him or meet her, we are down for that as well. So, and that is all in the paperwork that we signed. But initially, we didn't have anything in place until after I got pregnant because it was just like, we just trusted them,
yeah,
you mm-hmm. know, and I know that's not always the case, but because they were so close with Madeline growing up, I just didn't feel like it would ever be an issue.
Okay, cool.
So he came over, made his first deposit, you know, and it was funny because he like came out of the bathroom and he was like, had his phone in his hand. He's like, I need your Wi-Fi password. Which the older brother didn't do. And I was like, okay, this is hilarious. Go for it. It did take us a few tries with him as well. And the last cycle that I ended up getting pregnant on, I was doing like all the things. I was doing acupuncture with an acupuncturist who specialized in fertility. She had me drinking this crazy herbal tea that looked
oh
like,
oh God, it's so awful.
It's disgusting. It looked like she went in the gutter and picked up the leaves and put them in a bag and charged me $100 and was like, drink this 3 times a day. So I was doing that for about a month. And then, you know, I felt like the impending IVF was just like, okay, this is obviously the way we're going to have to do it. I had started some testing for that. And then I finally called my doctor and I was like, let me just try the medication that you said wouldn't work for me. So in the beginning, after I had labs redone, I mean, my numbers had gotten significantly worse.
Really?
Yeah. Like my FSH, my AMH, all those things were just really bad. And he was like, you're going to have a hard time getting pregnant.
Did they have any reason for why? Or
I was diagnosed with unexplained infertility.
Me too, girl. Yeah. Me too. How old were you?
When I got pregnant, I was 36 at the time, 35. So, you know, and the doctors scare you after you turn 35, yeah. You know, and it's like geriatric. My chart says geriatric pregnancy. And I'm like, just bring the walker with the tennis balls.
To my- so mean.
Because it's like, seriously. Which is ridiculous because people are waiting so much longer to have children now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's the norm. I just don't get it.
I know.
But
stop saying geriatric. Right. Really. Let's change that verbiage. But what I love here is that you went with your gut, which took me a lot longer to go with my gut. And you said, no, let me try that medication that you said isn't going to work.
Because he's like, you know, based on your labs, more often than not, we see that your body won't respond to this medication. So it was like, he didn't even think it would work from the get-go. And, you know, also doctors, I feel like when we say home insemination, we're kind of like, I don't know that that's going to work for you either. Like, let's try IUI. And I just, that's not how I wanted to do it. Yeah. And, you know, we kept pushing for the at-home insemination. We kept trying. And so he finally prescribed me the medication, which you take for, you know, a certain number of days in your cycle.
Was it Clomid?
I took Letrozole. Mm-hmm. So there's Clomid or Letrozole. And the reason I took this one is because there was a lower chance of having multiples. Yeah. But he said, he's like, there's a really high chance your body won't respond to it, but sure, let's try. And I was like, even if we just do it once or two cycles, you know, let's just see, because until you try, you're never going to know. So I took the medication. I went in for my ultrasound where they checked to see the follicle growth and the lining of your uterus. And I actually had three follicles. Two looked great. They were, you know, whatever the measurement is that they want them at the minimum. And then one was kind of just like, not so great.
That's the hidden baby.
Right.
Just kidding.
And, you know, my uterus looked great, they said. And she, even the nurse practitioner who was doing the ultrasound was like, you should come in tomorrow for an IUI. And I was like,
I'm doing it at home, lady.
We're still going to try it at home.
Stop
but
pushing me.
Really stuck to your guns. Yeah.
So next day I give myself the trigger shot. And then he came over to do the deposit the day after that. And, you know, you have like
that window,
short time frame, which is crazy in general that people just get pregnant.
Yeah.
I know. The time frame is like so small.
Isn't it? It's such a miracle.
It really is.
Time.
It really
when
is.
When you really break it down to the science, it's like, how does this happen on accident ever? Right.
Ever. And then that was the Friday before California went into lockdown. So they went into lockdown on the Wednesday after. And my work shut down. I was at home. And you have to wait 16 days before you can take a pregnancy test because the shot and the medication can give you a false positive. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I'd seen so many negatives. I was like, I don't want to go through that. I'm not going to test early.
Ooh. Yeah. I was never able to do that.
They said to wait 16 days. I made it 14. That's all as right. far as I could all go. Right. Which I thought was pretty good. So I took one of the like cheapy strip tests immediately, just like so dark.
Because you had three babies in there.
Yeah, exactly. The hormones were just like out of control. Didn't tell Madeline that I had tested. So like very first thing the next morning, I was like, I'm just going to take a test. And I left it in the bathroom knowing it was going to be positive. And I was like, just go look at it. Positive. And she was like, well, I'm not really going to believe it until day 16. And so I had saved like one of the nice digital tests and I took that and it was, you know, it didn't even take 30 seconds, I don't think, for it to come up and say pregnant. So,
because you were pregnant, girl.
Right. And she was like, wow, I think you're really pregnant. And I was like, I think so.
Are any of them identical? Or are they all fraternal? They're all each one of those eggs?
Yes. So all separate sacs, separate placentas, which is, again, a lot of stuff going on in my body. So most likely they're all fraternal. Since they're all girls, there's a chance. But since it was three eggs, I'm pretty sure they're all fraternal.
Yeah.
Wow. You have to test their blood to be sure, but I'm not really interested in doing that. I mean, they all look so different. So it's like, I don't really think
really?
They're right. Yeah.
It's amazing.
I know this is like a little bit of like an off the path question, but I always wonder about people with twins or triplets. Do you ever worry that like you named one, like, I don't know, Bob, and then like somehow you started calling the other baby Bob, and then that one just became Bob all along? Like,
you know, that was a fear of ours, like that we would either mix them up. Like, because when they're so little, they did all look really similar. But, you know, they really mark them with the hats and the letters in the hospital. So that was, and then once they got a little bit older, it was like, they looked so different. It wasn't hard. But then
you
it was
tell,
like,
no matter what.
Did we name baby A the right name? Like, should we have named her baby B's name?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And we went into the hospital. I think we decided that morning that the first one out was going to be this name. The second one out was going to be this name versus seeing them first and deciding. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, an hour after she was born, we had a third name for baby C. So
what are their names? Can you tell
us? Yeah. So baby A is Dylan. Dylan Jane. Baby B is Teddy Joe. And baby C is Charlie Jade. We went with a C name for baby C.
I love Charlie. Yeah. I always wanted to name a kid Charlie.
And they all look like those people now. You know, it's crazy. And I think they're just perfect for them. So,
wow. Oh my goodness gracious.
Jamie, what is behind you?
What? Oh, that's my yoga mat. Gonna do some bulldog yoga online after this. It's my new fave.
I should do that too.
You actually should. You should.
Listen,
guys, Bulldog Yoga Online is about taking the intimidation out of yoga and replacing it with music, smiles, and no judgment. We all need some of that right this second.
It's true. And I really do like it, which I didn't think I would, but I do. And Bulldog Yoga Online is about making yoga fun, which I was surprised. Yes, fun, Jamie.
I know. I'm surprised, too. I'm happy for you. Listen, guys, Bulldog streaming online classes are available on demand, which means you can take a class anytime, any place on your schedule. Bulldog Yoga Online even offers classes for kids and teens, so you can get your bulldog on and get moving with the whole family, Robin. Get those kids of yours to do it. Get them off the screens.
That I'm going to do. My kid is on the screen 24/7. Bulldog Online classes are also easy to follow, and they're set to great playlists. Mm-hmm. And the time just passes really easily, which during COVID is necessary.
It's true. And what I really love is there are choices for all levels, from beginner classes to heart pumping workouts, which you know I love. Mm-hmm. But there are also tons of class lengths that you can fit into your schedule. Classes range from 12 to 60 minutes, which is really good for moms because sometimes all you can do is 12 minutes. Mm-hmm. Even that's enough sometimes. That's all you need. You know what I did the other day after my run? I did a really short little yoga thing after as like a cool down. Best thing I ever chose to do. I had a great day.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. So listen, everybody, you need to try your first 30 days for free at bulldogonline.com. That's bulldogonline.com.
And then, guys, use the code OCT for an additional 50% off your first paid month. So that's great. Again, that's bulldogonline.com, coupon code OCT.
What is life like with triplets? I mean, I cannot, like, you are so put together, so calm.
Like, your house is quieter than mine. I know. Right now.
I think they are napping. They are, like, in the midst of the four-month regression and a leap at the same time. And so naps have kind of gone out the window, unfortunately. And they're all, like, not exactly the same. So, you know, one is ahead, one is behind. And so it's like, it's never ending as far as the schedule changing.
Yeah.
You know, it's no matter if you have one or three babies, it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's really freaking hard. And there's, at least for me, a lot of tears some days, because it's just like, I still have all the hormone stuff going on. And it's just when they're all three crying and you can only comfort them so much. And, you know, it's hard. I think our situation is unique in that it's two women and it's like, you know, we are both doing equal parts other than I am pumping milk, you know, 6 or 7 times a day and Madeline is not. That's the only difference, you know, but she has just been amazing. And without her, you know, if it were any other person, I don't think I would be as put together as I am because she is literally like the glue holding me together. So
do you have help or is it, I mean, could you have help in COVID or like what's,
I mean, help in the sense that her family is local. Her parents live on the other side of town from where we are. She is one of 5 kids and 3 of her siblings are relatively close, but like, we don't have anybody coming in to help us during the day or at night, you know, anything like that. It's just the two of us. After they were first born, we only got to take 2 home from the hospital. The one who had the restricted growth in the beginning had to stay in the hospital. She was in the NICU for 11 days. So we brought 2 home, which is great because we only had 2 car seats anyways.
So you had time to get all the extra stuff.
Right. And only 2 bassinets, you know, it was like we had to get all this other stuff anyway. So we had some time. So we got some practice with like multiples and it was great because we each had a baby and we would just feed one in the night and things like that. And then you throw a third in the mix and I was like, oh, she'll just slide right in. It'll be fine. And it was like a whole new ball game with 3. So it's hard.
Because there's only 2 of you.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Outnumbered.
We are. We went from man to man to zone defense very, very quickly.
Was it weird when you went home with, I mean, obviously there's nervousness when your baby's in NICU, but like,
you have all this joy and tiredness and exhaustion, and then another baby still at the hospital. Like, that had to have been hard.
During COVID.
Yeah, during COVID.
It's very, during COVID, right. It's very extreme ends of the spectrum as far as emotions. You know, you're so happy, just like you said, because you have these beautiful little babies, you're taking them home, but you also have to, like, take care of them. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't, mm-hmm. like, dwell on the fact that you have a baby in the hospital, but also you have a baby in the hospital. So, you know, just figuring out how we're going to take care of the two that we have at home, still go and visit the one in the hospital. Since I had a C-section, could not drive. Right. So finding a ride to the hospital.
In COVID.
Right. You know, my in-laws and just friends and everybody, you know, really stepped in to help us in that regard. And, you know, it's hard not to feel guilty about not making it there every day. But there were some days it was like, we can't do it. The nurses in the NICU, I will say, and just in general, the nurses that took care of me, amazing. You know, I think they kind of felt bad for us too. They gave us like the A team of nurses. It was like all the best people.
They were afraid of a lawsuit.
Well, yeah. And we can talk more about that too. Oh, but
yeah, let's talk about that.
I mean, I've actually spoken to a few different lawyers who said because nobody was injured during the birth, I didn't really have a case.
Right.
Jeez. Which makes sense. But like, who's going to pay for all the extra formula and the diapers and the third kid in college and the extra health insurance and things like that? So, I mean, I understand that point, and really we are fine, but it's like,
just mentally what that put you through to be, have one expectation and be moving to another one is had to be difficult.
And I am such a worrier, you know, so it's like, that's very stressful for me thinking about how all these things in the future, how are we going to make this work? You know, and it's great because Madeline is not that way. And she definitely like eases my anxieties as much as she can. You know, the big thing for us now is like daycare. Mm-hmm. We were going to be okay with putting two in daycare. We could have made it work, but finding a daycare that has three openings all at the same time, and it's just astronomically expensive. Madeline's not going back to work because we can't afford it, you know? And
that's what's happening with
there's
a lot
just no way. It's couples. This country and, you know, the way that childcare and benefits for mothers is just atrocious.
It really is.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the reality of the situation. We're trying to be flexible with
any income she had would go to care. So it's like,
And then some, you know, so that's what we're going to do for right now. Yeah. So,
but you have three beautiful babies, which
three beautiful babies, which is fine. So any like anger I had towards the doctors and the hospital, and I mean, both my specialist who I was seeing at the end and my regular OB apologized, which is great.
Thanks.
The specialist and the sonographer came to see me in the hospital personally to say, I'm so embarrassed. I'm so sorry that this happened.
I just want to know, like, were they just moving so much that they only ever saw two on camera, or was one just like wedged back somewhere?
I think the way they were positioned, it was like she was so posterior, you know, the other two were just like laying on top of her, but also just like they saw two from the beginning, so they only ever looked for two.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think had something to do with it also.
I would think, though, that based on like your numbers, like, you know, like I guess once it's a certain point, though, but like, you know, in the beginning when your numbers are like that's how they can sometimes.
I never had that blood work.
Oh, OK. Right. Because if you had like IUI or anything at the doctor, they would have been measuring your levels and seeing if they're doubling or tripling. And that's how they can tell like downs, or if they can tell, you know, triplets or that's okay. So it's like a perfect storm, really.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
As accidents go, this is
a happy accident.
An amazing one.
A happy accident. But wow. Wow. And now you're co-parenting.
Now we're in the thick of it, you know, just trying to navigate life in a pandemic as a same-sex couple, first-time moms of multiples, which is like a whole club in and of itself. And, you know, all just figuring it out as we go.
How did you guys decide who would carry?
I think from the very beginning, we just kind of knew it would be me, but I was very adamant about wanting to be physically pregnant. That was not something I don't think she was ever interested in. Until we tried a bunch of times and I wasn't getting pregnant, I think she finally wrapped her mind around, okay, it may be me.
Right.
And even in the beginning, the doctor was like, well, you have a backup uterus if you don't get, and I'm like, well,
they always that's a good way
to look out of it, like, which is like not.
But it's also like, no, we came the way we came for a reason.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Just because we're two ladies doesn't mean the other one is going to be
like
open
to it. It's like the joke on House Hunters. Every time like a straight couple walks into the closet, they say, where are you going to put your things to the husband? It's like, do you think we haven't heard the backup uterus joke? Got it.
That was not funny, and it's still not funny, but yeah.
But in the end, sometimes it's true. We do. Sometimes we do.
And we actually,
it's only funny if we want it.
Yeah. Right. I think it was a month or two before I actually ended up getting pregnant, we did an insemination with Madeline and it didn't work. Uh-huh. So she was prepared at that point, but it was just something I always felt compelled to do, to carry a child, to be pregnant. And, you know, obviously we would have been happy if Madeline got pregnant, but I also feel like I would have been sad, you know, that's, I feel like a natural reaction, yeah. But it worked out.
I mean,
so
I feel like this question, I don't know, maybe I could be wrong, but you're done, right? Are you having more? I mean,
you guys
can
have
way
more?
Too early to ask that, right?
I wanted more right after I gave birth.
But you didn't have a surprise baby.
Things I miss about being pregnant, I never actually want to be pregnant ever again. It was really freaking hard for me. And I don't know that I have, you know, a true pregnancy experience, because I imagine being pregnant with one is different than being pregnant with multiples. Right. I was just so uncomfortable the whole time. And people say, oh, you didn't complain once. And it's like, well, you weren't home with me every day. I complained all like, day.
Ask Madeline.
Day.
Ask Madeline.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and there are days where I'm surprised that I like miss being pregnant. There are certain things that I miss, but yeah, we are done. The day of my very first ultrasound at 8 weeks, we were eating breakfast and, you know, we're like, it could be twins. It could be twins. Cause at that point we didn't know. And then it was twins. And even on the way to the hospital, the morning of my C-section, I was like, should we, you know, let's think about a third. I could just get pregnant right away again, you know, and then we got three babies. And it was like everything we put into the universe
happened.
So it's like, yeah, we are done. Wow. I'm 99% positive we're done.
Mm-hmm. Just amazing. Oh, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. It's so wonderful. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, wow.
Still in shock over the surprise baby.
I mean, even Helen can't get her jaw off the floor.
I know.
She's like, what?
Helen was like, back in my day, that's what happened, but not today, not in the aughts. And I was like, Helen, it's 2021. She was like, oh, okay. Because she's drunk. She's having mimosas. Anyway, I love how they got their donor. That was just an amazing story about creating our families. And I love how they rolled with triplets. You know what I mean?
They're just rolling with
yeah,
it.
Yeah. We have to mention, if you haven't heard about it, we wrote a book and it's called If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We Learned About Making an LGBTQ Family. And we just learned that it's available at a bunch of libraries. And so if it's not mm-hmm. available at your public library, you can request it. So please do that. Request it to your local library so that there's more representation about LGBTQ families. But if you can't wait for that, first request it from the library. But then just go to a major retailer and buy it.
Yeah, you can do that too. There's even two copies in one library.
Yes, in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And a listener, Jan Hickman Bogart, she requested it and it now is there. That's all I'm saying.
Thank you, Jan. We love you, Jan.
You can also get the audiobook if you want to hear us read it. And that's available at Amazon and iTunes. And, you know, don't be afraid to review us over at the Amazon and the Goodreads. It really helps us distribute the book more.
Sure does. And you know what? We've rambled on enough today.
Sure have.
Even Helen is Helen is always telling us to stop talking. So that
she doesn't
matter.
Want us to start.
Yeah, she was not feeling it today because it's daylight savings. Anyway, okay. So let's keep the conversation going. Folks, you need to join us on the social because we are all over it. We are Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And we are If These Ovaries Could Talk on YouTube, where you can see recordings of our live streams. And don't forget, we do our live streams on Facebook and YouTube at 4 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday. And it's always a lot of fun. And you can interact with us there, which is even more fun. You can also support our podcast and you can join our community on Patreon at patreon.com/ovariestalk. And don't forget, when you become a Patreon supporter, you get bonus content, including video interviews that are dropped a day early, plus other cool stuff. So,
yeah.
And you get to see everybody face to face, which my mom says is her favorite thing.
And if Jamie's mom says it, that means you gotta do it. So thank you to our sponsors, Bulldog Yoga, Generate Life Sciences, the home of California Cryobank, and a big, big, big thank you for all of those people who are already Patreons for helping us make this show. We thank you. Eggs.
Ovaries. Out. Out.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, eggs, ovaries, out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. so you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.